This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, and as you can probably tell in my very, very raspy voice, I am battling a pretty severe cold. It sucks, man. I'm on tour. We're on Silverstein. We're on tour with Memphis Made Fire and the Devil Wears Prada, and man, like, it is just the worst when you get sick on tour, and, you know, as you can tell, my voice sounding like this, it's very difficult to sing and hit the high notes. So I'm doing all the tricks that I've learned, you know, listening to other singers on this podcast tell me, like, you know, I'm going to try the gummy bear tea today. That's something that Ashley Costello of New Year's Day told me about, and Aaron from Under Oath does that as well. So I'm going to try a few tricks, and hopefully tonight in Nashville I'll be able to get through it. Well, today we have a pretty big episode. Pretty crazy episode. I talked to my old friend Johnny Craig. I'm sure most people listening to this will know who he is. He was the original singer for Dance Gavin Dance. He was kicked out rather dramatically. He joined Amorosa for a while. He went back to Dance Gavin Dance. Then he started a band called Slaves, which he is currently doing. And he's had a lot of problems with drugs, with a lot of scandals, and even some scams on the internet. And I'm sure most people know it, so I won't get too far into it, but a quick Google, and you'll definitely be up to speed with Johnny Craig. And I listened back to this, and I don't really know what to make of the interview. I mean, we talk about a lot of things. We go a lot of different places, and I think people should just listen to this and take it for what it is and take what they want out of it. But I won't say any more, because I don't want to spoil it, because there is some fascinating stuff in this episode. I'm going to keep this intro short and rest my voice a little bit. But if you guys want to get in touch, it's really easy. We're on all the social media websites. We got a Twitter, at LeadSingerSyn. We got Instagram at Lead Singer Syndrome. We got Snapchat, which is Real Shane Told. I know it's kind of a douchey handle, but Shane Told was taken. Maybe we should get a Lead Singer Syndrome Snapchat. I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever use it, just because I'd be... You can't, like, really cycle between accounts on Snapchat. It's not easy like that. Anyways, if you want to email me, get in touch, whatever. If you just want to say hi, absolutely, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you buy things on Amazon, please use this Amazon referral link. It's what helps keep the lights on around here. So it's real simple. You buy anything on Amazon. Maybe you're going to buy a Halloween costume. Halloween's coming up. Some Halloween candy for the kids coming around. Whatever it is, they got everything on Amazon. They got some great Halloween costumes, believe me. So all you got to do is go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. Takes you right to the Amazon homepage. Log in. You won't even know what happened. It'll just be like, oh, I'm on Amazon. But we will know what happened, because everything you buy, we get between 4 and 6%, and that does add up. So thank you very much. If you could use that link, I would really appreciate it. All right, here it is. My conversation with the one and only Johnny Craig. Yeah!
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
It's been a minute. We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah. Couple years, real talk, I guess you'd say, yeah.
Hopefully it's not a little not too loud out here. I'm on the street right now.
I hear some people talking in the background, but I mean it'll work. It's okay.
Okay.
People hear you. People don't mind. You know, this is this isn't some like TV studio interview. This is like, you know, this is real life.
Yeah.
So where are you right now?
I am in Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, beautiful. Are you guys, so you're out with Slaves right now.
Yes, sir. Yep. And Slaves, Outline in Color, and Avion Row.
So I know you were doing some stuff with Dance Gavin Dance. You were doing the 10-year anniversary tour. Don't you guys have more dates coming up?
Yeah, I do. As soon as this tour is over, I believe, I'm going to be moving and stuff. But after all that, we, I think it's like November, I want to say, don't quote me, but I think it's like November, like 10th or 11th it starts, but it's definitely for like all of November.
Yeah. And that's, is that US or is that Europe?
It's Europe. Yeah. It's pretty much all of Europe and the UK.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, no, that's such a wild thing. You know, I had Tillian and John on the show a few months back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking about that and how that dynamic is. Like, so I asked Tillian, I just said, straight up asked him, like, is it weird for you being, you know, the singer of the band now and having, like, the old guy that, like, paved the way for you that, you know, started this whole thing, like, being there and having people, like, is that weird for your ego? And I kind of want to ask you the same question. I mean, for you coming in being like, well, this is my band, but now it's not my band. Like, how weird is that for you?
Honestly, it's not that weird at all. I don't know if you ever like knew the story or if they even told you anything how that band even came to be. They were in a different band and I was in a band from like Seattle. And you know, long story short, Will actually just came and picked me up one day from Seattle and I ended up just starting to live in California with them. So, I mean, right off the get-go, you know, I was living with Will and his parents and we just had a, you know, strong ass connection. So even through all the bullshit and, you know, me being in and out of that band, we've always kind of maintained a friendship, whether it was just kind of low key or whatever. So, when Kurt joined the band, you know, at first I was just like, I don't really know how that's going to go, whatever. I was kind of uneasy about it. And then, you know, kind of just did what it did. And then when Tillian joined the band, I knew from like the get go that it was going to be something good. And everything they released to me has honestly extremely impressed me. Like, I love posting about it. I wish the best for those dudes. And I think that guy is actually a really good fit, especially to replace me.
Well, that's cool. So, I wanted to ask you about Slaves. Obviously there was some controversy. First of all, I want to keep this positive, man. I want to keep this positive and uplifting. I know you're working hard. You know, to get yourself in a better place. Yeah. So I don't want this to be
just shitting. I don't mind answering any questions.
Oh yeah,
you know
I just
saying?
Want like, I want you to know that this isn't about me trying to shit on you or anything when I ask you anything about the craziness that's been, you know, the last like 10 years of your life. But I got to ask you, you know, you're still doing the Slaves thing. Obviously, being ejected from Warped Tour in 2015 was a big deal. The way that all shook out. So what's now, who's in the band now? What changes have you guys made and what are you trying to do here? You know, moving positively with this project.
Can you just say that last part again?
Oh, I just said, who's in the band now? I mean, I think you've had some changes and what are you trying to do? You know, moving this thing forward positively and just kind of wondering what's going on with Slaves and. If you're trying to change the reputation that the band might have acquired.
Of course we are. You know, it's not really anything, you know, secret about the way that things kind of went down. You know, we had a lot of problems between the band, and I think between me relapsing again, and I think between Alex and just how difficult he was as a person to deal with, which isn't any secret either. I'm not, like, trying to put him on blast or anything. He's just... You know, we've had a ton of problems with venues and stuff like that. So I think the reputation that we gained just kind of sucked at the point where between both of those things, it just kind of crumbled from the inside. And, you know, obviously I wasn't going to give up. I started the band, I named the band, I made the band. So whether they weren't going to be a part of it, I was always going to try and do something with it. Mm-hmm. But I just did it. I just didn't know if I was going to start like right off the bat. You know, I thought maybe I'd just give it some time, you know, wait a while and then maybe do something else. But the bass player of the band, he's been my friend for a really long time. And he decided that he wanted to stay. And we just talked about it. And, you know, he's always had my back, you know, especially through like all the drug stuff and everything. So he was just like, if you're going to keep trying and actually try, he's like, I'll stick by your side. But if you're just going to waste my time, then just dip. So we just decided that, you know, we were going to try and put things together again. But we wanted to do it. We wanted to do it the right way. You know, we kind of, I feel like we didn't really rush into things with Slaves, but I just think everything got, I don't know, it just turned so dark so fast for everyone, and everyone was just miserable. And, you know, through the first album was great. There wasn't really, you know, solid, super solid members. It was just kind of me and Alex. And then, you know, the second album came along, and we just started having tons of problems, and members started changing, and it just wasn't fun for anyone. And I think that, like, it just kind of blew up. And now it's just me and Colin. Yep. We literally just got done recording with Eric Ron, our first single that we're going to try and drop really soon. And we're going to go back there and record a whole album with him. And I think that we're just going to try and take this band in a completely different direction. The music isn't like crazy different. If you were to listen to him, you would, you know, you'll still know it's us, but I think this direction is where we should have gone from the beginning. And I think that just having people, you know, that are easy to deal with, it's making it a lot easier to move forward right now.
Right. Well, I mean, you talk a little bit about, you know, relapsing, and then you talk a lot about Alex. How much did his role play into that? And like, obviously, you were pretty fragile at times, and it seemed like, you know, I remember the Warped Tour, you know, town hall meeting we had and everything. Like, it seemed like he didn't think you had a problem.
Well, I think
you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how that all factored in and how much of that you blame on him.
Well, you know what? The sad thing is, like, I don't really blame anyone, you know? I can't blame anyone. I'm my own person. I'm my own human being. And I have to take responsibility for my actions, man. Mm-hmm. To say that, you know, him and they, or, you know, were they helping? You know, at the time, probably not, you know? But like I said, I'm not going to sit here and try and put blame on someone for something that, you know, I ultimately did. What really sucked, you know, through the whole like town meeting stuff was, you know, I know you were there obviously, and things were just kind of weird. I just feel personally that I just kind of got railroaded for something that wasn't even an issue at the time. At that moment, which really sucked, is I was actually clean from using drugs. But the problem was, we made an agreement or something saying that we would be sober for the whole tour, I guess.
Yes.
So when we were drinking, I guess that just put everything, you know, on the line and all that stuff kind of went down. And then once that was over, I just went downhill again. Like, I was like, okay, well, you know, it just kind of felt like I put myself in a situation where I knew I was going to be there. So I kind of set myself up for it. Does that make sense?
I don't really follow. I mean, you were supposed to be sober and you were drinking, I guess, like, and you got too drunk and there was an incident. I mean, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another weird thing is like, apparently I sexually harassed someone and we talked all about that or whatever, but I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't do anything wrong. Was the girl probably uncomfortable? Yeah. You know, and I just, all that kind of just sucks, man. Like, I don't like shed too much light on it, I guess, if you don't want to talk about it, but I don't really know what there is to talk about it with that situation. But,
like from your perspective, Johnny, like you're sitting there in front of your peers and basically it's like, you know, you're getting voted off the island, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I just kind of wonder, was that a wake up call for you? I mean, you know, like obviously a lot of people were like, look, he should stay because he can be sober here and we can help him through it. You know, some of your friends were saying that, and then other people were like, Warped Tour is not the place to get sober. Like, you need to go, you know. But then also you say, well, I wasn't doing drugs. I was just drinking. So I don't know where that fits in with you as an addict. Are you sober right now?
Yeah.
You're not drinking or anything?
No, nothing. I haven't drank for the last month. I actually stopped drinking. I was still drinking, but I haven't actually done drugs. This is the timeline. If you yep. want me to go through it all,
sure.
We went from Warped Tour. Like I said, we were drinking. I got, you know, Kevin was saying, hey, you know, whether you're doing drugs or not, drinking was also a part of it. You guys aren't supposed to be drinking. Your band is enabling you. You know, all yeah. you were there, so you know all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so from there, pretty much, what was that? What do you want to say? Warped Tour was what? June, August.
Yeah, June, August of 2015.
Okay. So pretty much, I don't think. Let me think in my head. I didn't go on tour again until. Was it? I think March or April for the last Slaves tour.
Right.
Was it? I want to say. I think that was with Dance Gavin Dance, right? I'm just trying to remember.
Yeah, that
would have
been
right
with Dance Gavin Dance. That would have been before that. Yeah.
Yeah. So all that time in between, I was just sitting around and I fell right back into it, man.
Sure.
You know, and I went down really hard again, and so we, you know. Here we are in March now, getting ready to go on this tour with Dance Gavin Dance, and it's just a mess. You know, I'm a mess physically, I'm a mess mentally. Definitely should not be on tour whatsoever. And I'm not blaming anyone or blaming anything, not Warped Tour or anyone who's at that meeting or anything like that. Like you said, you know, was that a wake-up call? I think it really just hit me to the point where I stopped caring for a moment, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you know what? This was my life, and I think that it's over at some point. So I get, you know, real depressed, whatever. You know, I start just kind of going inwards and just sticking in my head, which you should never do. And things get weird. And like I said, March comes along. We go on this tour. I'm a complete mess. You know, I'm do whatever, using, drinking every day. And yeah, just the pretty much that was the end of Slaves right there. You know, all that stuff kind of blew up where, you know, they made a post saying Slaves has released a statement saying, you know, we were broken up, everything's gone. And then, you know, like I said, Colin is still with me. He, you know, we sat down and we did a solo tour right after that. And that's when I made that statement, you know, letting everyone know, hey, you know what, I've relapsed. I just felt like I didn't really want to hide anything anymore, if that makes sense. Like,
sure, of course.
I know there was some people that never had any doubt that I was still, you know, getting fucked up and stuff. But I just wanted to make it clear to the people that hit me up every day being like, oh, dude, you know, you're an inspiration. Thank you so much for, you know, staying clean. I have this much time cleaning. That just made me feel guilty all the time, you know. And
sure.
Surprisingly, I get a lot of those messages all the time. So it's like really looking at those, especially when I was like messed up, that really kind of just fucked with my head a lot, man. So I did the solo tour with Colin, and we did it drug-free. I know he, you know, I think he, obviously, he's an adult and stuff, so he can drink or whatever.
I don't know, man. Like, you have a very fucking, like, you have a big problem. Like,
yeah.
I mean, is it really hard for
I'm
somebody?
I'm not saying drinking with me. I was just saying he, you know,
yeah.
he's an adult. He can,
yeah,
obviously,
I guess
if he's
so,
out with
man.
His friends,
okay.
he can do what he wants.
I guess if he wasn't drinking in front of you or whatever, then that's different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to make that clear.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
that's what you're about to jump into, yeah, because I know that was also a problem when we had, you know, the meeting, whatever, everyone, the band was just kind of like nonchalant about it. They were just like, hey, you know, like, you know, what did we do? It wasn't our fault. I see it from both sides, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe some people that haven't been addicted to drugs or have had addiction, they don't understand it the same way. Maybe it's difficult for some people. I mean, you know, my mom.
I mean, it's a very hard thing to understand.
Yeah. I mean,
man.
My mom is an alcoholic. I've struggled with addiction myself. And, so I get it, and I get how things can set it off. Like, you know, like you said, being bored, you know, sitting around.
Yeah,
those things can do it. So I totally understand where you're at. But I mean, you're sober now. You're doing well. The band is back. Do you, now that you've had like a month where you haven't even been drinking or anything, does that time give you some reflection about some of the things that you've done and like, is it hard to wake up in the morning sometimes and just be like, I was so fucked up, and I, like, you must feel some guilt.
Yeah, I mean, any addict feels guilt, man. You know, a lot of the things I did. Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, I'm not asking about any addict. I'm asking about you, you know?
That's fine. You know, I know what you're saying.
Sure.
Do I feel guilty? I'm telling you, anyone feels guilty. That is an addict, obviously, because no matter what you're doing, you're hurting someone, whether it's yourself or every single person around you, Shane. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that is just going to go away. But do I wake up every morning and feel sorry for myself? No, I don't. I wake up every morning and I'm happy that I'm alive. I wake up every morning and I'm glad that I'm not doing drugs anymore. I wake up every single day and I'm happy for the people that are around me. And those are the things I focus on, man. Sure. Not what did I do in my past.
Right.
You know, who did I hurt? You know what? That's going to come when I have to face those people and face those things. And right now, I just need to focus on myself and keep myself in a good mindset and know that those people are going to be there. And when I come back, they're going to either take my apologies sincerely or they're going to say, hey, you know what? We understand, but we don't want anything to do with you. And when that time comes, I'll be ready to face it, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah, dude. Well, that's good. And like I said, I want this to be positive and uplifting, this conversation, because, you know, I've known you. We should talk about that. I've known you a long time. I mean, I've met you on one of the first kind of, you know, bigger Dance Gavin Dance tours back in 2007.
You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm breaking up? You got me now?
Shane.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay, sorry. I don't know. I'm sitting in one spot, so probably not good. Me,
it was,
but
it's kind of made like a weird robot sound, and you just cut out for a second.
Sorry, yeah. I was just saying, you know, I've known you for a long time, and, you know, we took you guys out on, you know, one of the first, you know, bigger Dance Gavin Dance, you know, tours.
Yep.
And that coincidentally was the tour that you got kicked out of the band. And do you remember before that show, it was in New Jersey at the...
Yeah, Saints and Sinners.
Saints and Sinners.
Yep.
Do you remember what happened right before the set?
Yeah. I was upstairs. I don't know if you... I mean, obviously, you've been there. All the merch was in, you know, that big circle area.
Yeah, like an arena concourse, kind of.
Yeah. So all the merch is like upstairs along like the parts where, you know, and then this big ass, you know, balcony and then all the stairs all the way down to the stage. And I just remember like being up there and fucking around. I don't know whose merch table we were at. Were we at your merch table?
Yeah, we were at my merch table. Yeah.
Okay. And I just remember like hearing the intro for our song and just dipping as fast as I could.
I'll never forget the look on your face, dude. I was with you and Josh, and Josh was like, dude, is that your intro? And we just like stopped talking for a second and we heard it and your face just dropped and we were like, ah, fuck.
I don't think I've ever ran that fast in my life though. Like I don't know how many, I would say like probably over 100 stairs. I would just fucking vaulting down them to get to it. And I made it to like the end of the intro, but
yep.
My mic wasn't even on, I guess, because obviously the guy just saw one vocalist, so it didn't even matter at that point. But yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that was obviously,
as much as that sucks, it was pretty funny, but at the same time, it that was pretty shitty. But
yeah, well, that was, I'd say, the beginning of the end. That was the end of the beginning, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And so after that, you know, you moved on to Amorosa.
Yep.
And I mean, that's been kind of a volatile situation with you, and you know, I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're kind of pissed at them. What's that whole story about?
Yeah. There's really not like too much of a story. Like you know, honestly, my straight opinion. This is what happened with me. You know, I was in the band. Everything was cool. They were like, hey, you know what? You know, you got a problem. We want you to go get some help. And I'm like, all right. If you guys are like dead serious about it, you know, I'll go do what I need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're on tour. I want to say like, I can't. It was actually at the place where we did our first show with you on that tour, I think, or maybe it wasn't. But you know that place in New York? It's like has a really really tall stage and has like a loading dock.
Oh,
up the back.
The Chance.
Yes, yeah.
Poughkeepsie?
Chance did. Yep. So we had a day off in Boston before that, and they all sat me down and talked to me, and they're like, you know, we're your friends. We care about you. We really want you to get help. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do that. You know, you guys, you know, you mean a lot to me, whatever. You
you were sincere about everything you said, if this is what you really feel, I'll go do it. So they, I was like, just let me play one more show. And they're like, you know, deal, cool. So we played the show at the Chance. They ended up, you know, we loaded up. They ended up, they gave me $300 and they dropped me off at a hotel, you know, for me to get like a cab to the airport and stuff in the morning. And that was pretty much the last time I ever saw any of them. After I got out of rehab, I went back to Sacramento because I was going to be starting a tour with Dance, because I was actually in both bands at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I went back to Sacramento and I was staying, you know, with management and stuff. And I get a call from ER and he just says, hey, man, you know, I'm sitting here with the band right now and I just want to let you know that we're going to let you go. Is it? And I remember it to this day because it just cracks me up every time I think about it. And he just said, is that okay? And in my head, I'm just like, how do you like kick someone out of a band, but then just be like, is that cool though? Are you cool with that? Like, I didn't really know what to say to that. And the only really beef I had with them is the fact that, you know, they sat there and they claimed to be my friends. They claimed to really care about me. And then in the end, they really just took the easy way out and just opted to get rid of me. And once I was gone, you know, that's kind of what they were going off of. And I've heard lots of stories that it was, you know, management being like, you need to do this. You need to cut ties with him. You know, I'm not going to get into that because I don't really know the whole story. I'm not going to cause rumor.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, that's just kind of why I still have beef, man. You know, I cared about those dudes and they claimed to care about me and they kind of just left me high and dry when I needed them the most. And that's honesty, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I just see you kind of throwing Bradley under the bus a lot on Twitter, so I had to ask you about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the guy. You know, as an adult, I guess I get that, you know, I get to not like people, right? I mean, I'm sure you don't like someone.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't. You can actually, you're absolutely entitled to that opinion and, you know, free, you can say whatever you want. This podcast is open forum.
Yeah, I'm not like talking shit and being like, oh, I hate him because he's a bad singer. He does a horrible job on stage. You know, I just don't like the guy. I can say that.
You can say that. Do you have any reason other than just not liking the guy?
If you don't mind, I'd rather just keep him to myself and personal. It just has to do with a lot of situations that I just don't think need to be aired, and I'm sure he wouldn't want them to be aired as well. You know, just dumb stuff, childish shit, you know, girls, stuff like that. So it's just, we'll just leave it at that, man.
It's always girls, isn't it?
I know. I'll tell you, man. Like, I'm not gonna go into it, but
because this is real talk on this shit, I would say that. Of all the people that I don't like, or all the people that don't like me, probably has to do with something to do with a girl or something. I won't say who it is, but there was a guy who hated me for years and years and years because he thought I slept with his girlfriend and I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. And he thought this for years, never said anything to me about it.
Yeah.
And then one day, I don't know, made some snarky reply on Twitter, and I was like, what the fuck? I thought we were friends. What are you talking about? And we hashed it out, and I was like, dude, this isn't real. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, man, I've thought this for years, and now we're like, cool. So it's funny how sometimes those people, you know, that you hate so much, now they're like, they become like people. I see them around. I'm like, dude, I love the guy. But it's amazing how those kind of rumors and stuff can be so toxic in this industry.
Yeah. It's so weird. It sucks. Like, I have that situation with more than one person in the scene too. It's like, it sucks. It's always girls, dude. It's always women and shit that just, they get us into trouble, man. Wow. I had that with, Wade from Alexis on Fire. And he actually came up to me and was like, hey man, I just want to let you know, I don't know what you heard or what she said, but we've never had sex, yada yada yada. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, cool, man.
Wade McNeil? That's really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he came up to you.
Yeah, he came up to me.
That's cool. I mean, I
think it was Soundwave, but I want to say it was Soundwave. It was either Soundwave or Slam Dunk.
Yeah.
One of those festivals over there, and he just came up to me and was just like, hey man, I heard, you know, you think I did this or something. I was like, nah, man. We're good. We're good to go.
That's cool that Wade came up to you, and I think that is a good way to, you know, to squash the beef.
No, he
but
was
super, super respectful about it.
We won't get into the Bradley thing. We'll just you could just keep retweeting stuff.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, he does the same shit too. I mean, it's not like I'm the only one out here throwing shade. So
yeah,
but, I mean, he knows what it is, and I know exactly why I don't like him, and so we'll just keep it at that, man. I will say though, and I will give it to him. He did come up to me and try and, you know, squash it and try and be respectful and stuff. And I still act like a child. I just didn't want to deal with it. So I will give him that though. I will.
All right. Well,
he did the adult thing about it, but I still don't have to like him, and that's just how it is, man.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I want to ask you, this is not related to this, this isn't an intentional segue, but, you know, obviously when you came out with Dance Gavin Dance, and, you know, you have a very distinctive voice, a lot of bands have, I don't want to say ripped you off, but a lot of people have tried to sing like you. You know, there's people like Tyler Carter, who is a friend of mine. You know, obviously without you, I don't think he sings like that. You know, and a lot of other people. Now, is it hard for you when you're like getting ousted from Warped Tour and you go back and you're alone and you're bored and all these other people like are kind of, you know, getting rich off your sound? Does that bother you? Does that piss you off?
I mean, not, that doesn't really like make me mad or like
upset. Or
is there
some kind of jealousy or like?
Yeah. I wouldn't say, like, I'm not going to say, like, jealousy, but, you know, there's definitely always that thought in the back of your mind where you're like, hey, you know what, like, this was something that, like, I don't want to say started, obviously, there's been plenty of singers that, you know, have brought, you know, kind of soul and stuff like that into, you know, more of, like, harder music and stuff, but what I will say is that it's cool to sit back and see people, like, that you know and that you have relationships with, you know, get what they deserve, especially because, you know, when I met Tyler for the first time, I went and sang on his CD when he was in What Was Me. And, you know, we became friends for a long time. We don't really talk much anymore, but just to see him doing what he's doing is really cool in the fact that, you know, I kind of helped him, or I don't want to say like help, but, you know, he kind of just brought a style that like I was doing, and he's actually doing something like really big with it. I think that's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm not like jealous of it. Do I want to say I wish that was me? Oh, of course. But at the same time, I'm just happy that it's someone that I respect doing it, you know?
Right. Sure. Totally, man.
But there's always that little feeling, you know, where you're like, oh man, I wish, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course I know what you're talking about. Always. I mean, always, dude. And then we live in a very jealous world and jealous industry. And I think that's a big, big part of it. You know, bands are always like, oh, well, you know, why didn't we get that tour, or, you know, how come they get their play song played on, you know, MTV or, you know, whatever. It always is. And it will always be that way. So I just wanted to ask, you know, for you that did. I mean, I'm going to give you credit for pioneering that sound. I mean, maybe people had done it, but not quite like you guys did, you know?
Yeah.
So
well, I appreciate that, man. I don't know how accurate and like true that is, but I mean, if that is the case, that's 100% awesome, man. And I think that's cool that you're saying that.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, so I kind of want to talk a little bit. I want to go back and talk about your early life a little bit, because I haven't read too much about it. I mean, I know you're Canadian.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Like, are you an American citizen too?
I'm dual citizenship.
You are dual citizen, yeah.
But I grew up in Canada pretty much I would say life, because, you know, growing up as a kid and stuff, that's pretty much where it counts when you say where are you from. But yeah, my dad is American and my mom was Canadian.
And so you grew up in like BC, Vancouver area?
Outside of Vancouver, it's called Abbotsford. It's like 30, 40 minutes outside of Vancouver.
I'm familiar with it. We've actually played a show there before.
Oh, really?
Yes, we have.
I wish I could play a show that I've never played one. I wanted to.
So yeah, so how did you get into music? How did you get into singing? How did you get into punk rock? How that all happened for you?
You know, I left my house when I was like 15. I left like both my parents. You know, I didn't really get along with either of them, and I just decided to, you know, do my own thing. And I went from Canada. I went up to a place called Tacoma, which is like right outside of Seattle. It's in Washington. And I was living with a friend, pretty much doing nothing for a while, like a couple years.
And you're 15 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just dropped out of high school and...
Well, I was bouncing back and forth actually from high schools, from Canada. And then in the States, I was going to high school as well, but I was staying at my dad's. And I just decided, I don't know, man, school was never my thing. I don't know how, you know, weird that is to say, but I never really felt comfortable there. So I dropped out, and, you know, a couple years passed, and I ended up, you know, dating this girl and staying with her and her parents. And I started going to college, taking like vocation classes. So like half the class I would take like audio technology, and then the other half I would take, you know, the high school courses or whatever at the college. And in my audio technology class, I was sitting next to this dude, and pretty much me and him would just sleep the entire course. Like, I don't know why, but it was weird to say, but we would sleep from beginning, start to finish. And, you know, one day we just started talking, and he played music. And he was like, yeah, I have a band. And I literally tried out that day. And I think I sang, what was the song? Newfound Glory. I can't remember the name of it. I don't remember the summer place. I sang that song for them.
Okay.
And they were just like, yeah, you're in the band immediately. And I ended up just actually moving in with that guy. And that was my first band. And yeah, that kind of just started the whole thing.
That's crazy. So like, you know, obviously like being 15, just leaving home, you know, doing whatever. That's like pretty crazy. Were you taking drugs like that early in your life already?
No, I was smoking weed, if you want to, call that a drug.
I think it counts. I think you can go to jail for it, so we'll call it a drug, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. everyone smokes weed in Canada, so.
Well, not everybody, but it is pretty, pretty common, yeah.
I was smoking weed. That was actually the only drug I was doing at the time. Yeah, I didn't actually start doing drugs until my like early 20s, man.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So you're playing in a band with this guy, living with him. No parents, no rules.
I lived with him and his mom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were parents present, but I mean, yeah, from like 15 to about 17, I just kind of lived on my own with a friend.
It's crazy. Do you blame, you know, the lack of your home structure and stuff for kind of falling into that path that's like, you know, been so destructive for you?
A lot of people have asked me that question, and as much as I want to say yes, I just got to say no. The structure was there, man. You know, my parents, the reason I left is because I just didn't want to follow rules. I didn't want to do what they said. And, you know, they just got so fed up with everything that was going on and just how, you know, how much I was just acting out, where they were just like, you know what, you need to start following these rules or we're going to have to ask, you know, you got to go. Like, we just can't take anymore. So, yeah, as much as I want to say yes, man, I got to say no. My mom always tried to put me on the right path, and my dad was extremely strict, man. He's in the Army and stuff, so
right.
He was always super, super strict. But, yeah, the structure was there, dude. I just failed to grasp onto it.
Yeah, that's crazy. No, I guess that it is kind of an obvious question to ask, I guess, because that, you know, that's what you hear about. You know, a troubled teenager turns to drugs. It's like a cliche thing.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people ask me that. And, you know, neither of my parents have ever done drugs. My dad drinks. My mom didn't even drink till she was 39 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was the first time she's ever drank ever. She's never smoked a cigarette, nothing. None of my parents really have any background in drug or alcohol abuse.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters, one half sister and one full sister.
Did you have a relationship with them as a kid?
Yeah, yeah. My younger sister is only a year younger than me, and we pretty much look like twins. So we just grew up super close until I took off. We're still close to this day. Yeah.
So I guess, like, you know, this is the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast, so we do talk about singing, and, you know, I know you've never taken any vocal lessons or whatever. Like, before that first tryout you had with your friend that you slept in class with, yeah. That sounds bad, slept with in class. Did you ever sing, or did you just like, kind of just sing in the shower, and then you just sang a Newfound Glory song and was like, holy shit, I just can do this?
Yeah.
Or how did it happen for you?
I would just listen to songs on the radio, dude, and that's literally how I just kind of taught myself to sing. I would just imitate, you know, any of the songs that I liked, and just, you know, I would listen to, obviously, like, you know, the Newfound Glory CD and stuff like that, and just sing to it. And when I was, like, younger and stuff, I would just sing around people I was around, and, like, one day I was just singing around a bunch of girls from, like, my neighborhood, and they just kind of freaked out, and I think that's just kind of where I realized, like, hey, I think I can actually do this.
I thought you were like, I think I can actually get girls.
Yeah, I think I might actually be able to do something, you know? And then it kind of just turned into, you know, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, you know, here I am. You know, I would love to take, like, actual lessons and stuff like that. But I just, at this point, it's just, like, been doing it for so long. I just feel like, hey, you know, what am I going to do differently? If that makes sense.
Well, I think you've found your sound. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is just like, you know,
and it's all from listening to, like, other singers, like, you know, Anthony Green and stuff like that, that kind of helped me put that little, you know, each little mark on my voice that I have.
Right. Well, no, you're a great singer. I mean, there's no question. I wish there was more to say. Like, I mean, I you don't even warm up, do you?
I mean, not like not all the time, but it's weird. It's like, if you know me and you know, tour with me and be around me, I'm literally singing all day long. So it's not that I just, boom, just step on stage and
right,
just sing.
Right, right.
I'm literally singing throughout the day all the time, like here and there. So I think I'm kind of just warm up like all day long, but I don't sit there and do like intentional, like, that type of stuff.
Yeah, my warm-ups consist typically of me just making sure my voice isn't fucked up that day. So I do a couple scales, like, oh, how can I get up to that note today? Because I'm not much of a warm-up guy either. But, you know, a lot of people, you've seen them on tour, they do, like, these, like, very long regimens, you know? Like Vic from Pierce the Veil, he's a great singer.
Vic. Oh, yeah, exactly.
He sings.
He spends, like, an hour doing it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, at least. You know, so it works for some people, and other people it's different. And, you know, that's what this podcast is all about, how we all do the same job, but we approach it very differently.
Yeah. I, you know, if I wake up and my voice is kind of feeling a little weird, you know, obviously tea, I'm sure everyone says, you know, hot tea is always the go-to. But honestly, if I wake up and I feel weird about my throat or something, I always have like cough drops on hand, man. It's weird, but
they help you. Yeah.
I've always used them to just kind of like soothe my throat a lot. And I don't know if it does damage or helps more, but I know that when my shit's feeling rough, it's cough drops and tea, man. And it used to be like hot tea and then, like, you know, whiskey, lemon, and honey, but now we got to cut the whiskey out.
Well, you know, back to that, like all the partying that you've done, you know, over the last 10 years or longer, like, has that taken a toll on your voice at all, do you think? Or, like, obviously there must be days where you're hungover and it's harder, but for the most part, does it hold up okay?
I don't think I've ever really had, like, you know, super problems with it. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, you sound kind of different from the first Dance Gavin Dance CD to the last Slaves album. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, I was like, you know, 19 to 20 when I recorded that. I'm 30 years old now. You know, of course I'm going to sound a little different. They're like, oh, well, you know, you don't sing as high anymore. And, you know, I think it's just it's just me growing up. It's not like, I don't think it's like intentionally damaging my throat. I don't think anything that I've done has damaged it. And I, you know, praise God or Allah or whoever, you know, you believe in, that it's not messed up. I really do. I have mad respect for who's ever looking out for me.
But. Okay. Well, yeah, it's a Jeez, yeah. That's amazing, man. Some, you know, some people, they just got it, I guess. All right. So jumping forward, I mean, all these drugs and stuff you've done, I mean, we keep talking about it, but the reason I ask you this is because, like, they've cost you your life. They've cost you your career. They've probably dissolved a lot of the relationships in your life, and that's why you're sober now. Like, how is that? I guess I want to ask you, like, I guess my real question, sorry, let me, I know this is a mess. I'm not going to edit this. Fuck it. I guess, like, what I'm trying to ask you is, like, you know, you're 30 now. You've been doing this for a few years. You've had drug problems off and on. You know, we're both doing the same thing, which is we're professional musicians. We have to make money to live. But when your life is a drug addiction, how much of it is like, I need to go on tour to make money to live to get loaded? You know what I mean? Like, I need to do this record so I can get paid, so I can go home and I can get drugs. Like,
yeah.
And how much does that compromise, like, what you did or what you do as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Shane. You know, I don't really actually think about it at this point because, you know, that's not what I'm, you know, focusing right now. No. I guess back, you know, obviously when I was getting fucked up, you know, there was points and times where I'm like, hey, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. In my mind, I'm not just saying this because I, you know, want to make myself look better or whatever, but I never really ever, you know, I don't think it ever compromised what I did or the love that I had for music. And I think there was a point, you know, one of the first times I got clean where I realized, hey, you know, I'm starting to choose this, or I'm starting to want to do this more than I want to sing or play music. And I think that scared me at first. I think that one of the first times I actually got clean, I think that was one of the thoughts that ran through my head. But
is it,
you know, even
be
being
fucked, that you'd rather be fucked up than play
exactly
music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of scared me. And I think that was one of the first times I got clean, like got myself sober, was because of that. And I believe that it was when I went into Amorosa, because when I went from, you know, New Jersey, you know, with you guys and yep. just being whatever, thinking I can do whatever, whenever I want all the time. I went to Kentucky and I didn't know anyone. And I just kind of felt like, oh shit, you know, is my career over? Is this it? Like, did I choose drugs, you know, over what I loved? And I ended up actually not doing anything, for like a year. I barely even drank that first year that I moved to Kentucky. And just because, you know, that thought just was in my head, like, oh shit, did I fucking, you know, did I screw everything up? And then of course everything kind of got back on track, and then,
right,
you know, goes back into it where you're like, hey, you know, shit. But, throughout the whole drug use and everything, man, I feel like I've always accomplished what I wanted to. Could I have, you know, done things better, done things more responsibly, you know, put more effort into things? Of course. But I think the love for what I do, man, and how much I actually love being out here, I think it's never really wavered.
Right. But obviously, one thing that has suffered is your reputation.
Of course.
You know, and like, there's a lot of people angry. Like, I put on Facebook real quick, just on my personal Facebook, because obviously, like, a lot of people that I'm friends with are people in the music industry that know you.
Yeah.
And if they don't know you, they know of you, right? I mean, you have a reputation. So, you know, like the MacBook thing obviously was probably the lowest of the low for you. You know, doing that to fans, it's you know, it's pretty disgusting. I'm sure you would agree with me.
Of course.
And those are the things that you have to now live with and move on from.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just wondering, you know, how do you handle that? And, you know, I know you said, you know, when you see these people, you'll apologize to them. But, I mean, are there people, like, there's people listening to this show right now, I'm sure, in the music industry and stuff, that you maybe have wronged, or maybe you still owe money to, or whatever. Is there anything you want to say to those people? You know, like, I know you're sober now, and it's coming from a place of, you know, a clear Johnny Craig head. So it's a good opportunity. I don't know if you want to relish that opportunity, or if, you know, if you just want to...
Yeah, man. You're good, man. Like I said, I have no problem talking about anything. Nothing bugs me, you know, especially stuff like the MacBook stuff. And, you know, that being, like 5 years ago, you know, that was rough. Like I said, that was probably, you know, at the height of everything. And, yeah. You know, that was something that, you know, a lot of people just decided, hey, you know what, this dude, you know, has just done, you know, the ultimate. And I don't think he's going to be able to come back from that.
Right.
And, you know, I paid all those people back, Rise and Artery paid those people back. And then I spent, you know, the next 2-3 years of my life paying them all the money that, you know, that they helped bail me out with.
Sure.
And I don't think it even matters. You know, it wouldn't have mattered if I had paid all the people back or not paid the people back. You know, there's always going to be someone out there, man, that's going to bring it up. That's going to make a joke about it. You know, it's always going to be, it's going to be relevant. And, it doesn't bug me whatsoever because I don't think, like, I don't want to say, oh, I wouldn't, if I couldn't change a thing, I wouldn't change it. You know, obviously I wouldn't do that. But at the same time, I don't think that I would have ever had a chance at all to even be here doing this podcast if I hadn't have, you know, fucked up so bad. If I hadn't have had like a reality check like that, like if I had just kept going and going and going, I probably wouldn't be alive, you know?
So yeah, I mean, sure.
I think that at least that situation, you know, like was, you know, an eye opener and stuff like that. And, you know, you talk about people in the industry, especially, you know, bands. And if they don't know me, they've heard about me. And, you know, there's tons of bands that, you know, that like our peers and stuff that are in our scene, never met me, never spoken a word to me. And all they do is have bad shit, you know, negative shit to say about me. Cause all they see is just, you know, all they see is what I've done. My reputation, like you said, I have a horrible reputation.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, is good about what we're doing, me and Colin together, is the fact that that's something we want to change, man. I want people to actually see me for once as not just some fucking, you know, somebody just out here doing it because that's just what they want to do. They want to make money, you know, they just want to get paid. That's not why we're out here. And I want to change my reputation, you know. I want people to actually be like, hey, that's actually a good dude, man. Like, I see him with his fans. I see the way he treats his fans. I see the way he speaks to his fans. He actually cares about what he's doing. And that's literally what I'm trying to do right now, is focus on myself and focus on having people see me in a better light, man. That's what's important to me right now, is doing this and doing it correctly, dude. And like you said, if I want to take the chance, and of course, I mean, obviously there's tons of people out there that, you know, I've done dirty and, you know, that don't really even, you know, I don't really deserve that respect. But you know what? If they're willing to give it to me and they're willing to come up and talk to me and see that I'm not that same dude that was loaded on pills, or not the same dude that was loaded on heroin, not the same dude that was like hammered all the time. They want to come up to me and speak to me. They can see that I'm an actual decent human being, man. Like I'm here.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard for some people to give, you know, second chance after second chance.
Of course.
But at the same time, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, you need to have some willingness to apologize to people too. And it seems like that's something that you're able to put your ego aside and be like, hey, I was an asshole.
All I'm asking is that you come up and talk to me, man. You know, you want to make a judgment about me, I'm 100% okay with it. All I ask is that you just come up and speak to me first. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least talk to me if you want to hate me, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess people have very long memories, and reputation is hard to change. And I really hope, Johnny, that you can stay clean. You know, you can continue with this band and, you know, make some amazing music. And also, I hope you have a good time with Dance Gavin Dance in Europe. I mean, that's going to be a good time.
Yes, sir, man. I'm going to have a good vacation over there, man.
Is it hard to be around some of those guys? Because, I mean, let's be honest, Dance Gavin Dance is a party band. I mean, there's no question. Is that?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, of course they go hard.
Are you taking some steps to make sure you're going to be able to do that tour clean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like I said, me and Will have had a really strong, you know, relationship this entire time. And he kind of knows where I'm at right now and knows, like, you know, what I'm trying to do. So I think he, you know, he's prepared to kind of sit there and not exactly babysit me, but he's definitely going to be there and be like, hey, you know, you're making the right decisions. Are you feeling all right? You know, are you doing what's good? And then, you know, I have confidence in myself, man. you know, we just did Europe. Me and Colin just did Europe with Slaves, and everything went 100% fine. There was no hiccups, no relapses, no anything. So I have confidence in myself to know that even with these dudes and, you know, them hanging out, they're adults. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
They want a party. That's completely okay with me. But I'd rather stay focused on what I'm doing and just moving forward right now, man. Always forward.
That's good, man. Well, hey, dude, thank you so much for taking the time today. And I hope you have you're playing tonight in Providence, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I hope you have a great show.
All right, man. Thank you for the time, dude. And good luck with, you know, all your tours coming up and everything else, man.
Thanks, Johnny. Hope to see you around.
Yep, no problem.
All right, man.
Bye.
See you.
So there it is, my conversation with Johnny. I really did try to keep the conversation positive and uplifting. You know, we talked about Johnny a lot on this podcast and in previous episodes, and Johnny reached out and said, I want to be on the show, but I want it to be positive. So we tried. We talked about a lot of things, and I really hope that this month of sobriety that Johnny has going right now continues. I mean, obviously a month of sobriety in terms of the grand scheme of a 10-year career isn't a lot. I'm sure Johnny recognizes that. So I wish him the best, you know, moving forward there. And, you know, he's wronged a lot of people, and I try to give him an opportunity to apologize. And I think he's understanding of that. And I think maybe he's just not there yet. But if you're in Europe, definitely go out and see Dance Gavin Dance. They're a great band. Their new record is awesome. They're killing it right now. And it'll be really cool to see them in Europe with Johnny and Kurt Travis over there doing some old songs. So hopefully, if you're in Europe, you get a chance to do that. And lastly, before you go, thank you so much for listening to this. This is episode number 50. I've been doing this for just about a year now, and when I started, I didn't know the support was going to be like this. I didn't know people were going to be so excited, and I didn't know I would be having so much fun doing it. So please, if this is your first time listening to the show, go find the subscribe button, hit subscribe, write a review on iTunes. I mean, 50 is just the beginning, you know. Before I know it, it'll be up to 100 and 200 and more, and we're just getting started here, so I'm really, really excited. So thank you again, everybody, for listening to my podcast. I'm going to leave you with a song, as always, a classic Dance Gavin Dance jam from their first record, Downtown Battle Mountain. Here's Lemon Meringue Tea on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love.
Come between one thick line, I can never see you in the dark.